And Joseph, having bought the shroud, wrapped up the body in it. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Someplace, Bishop Sheen says that there are three, he calls them intimacies, whereby love manifests itself. It's either done by speech, by word, or it's done by sight, by vision, or by touch. I happened to come across this quote this morning in my reading, and it seems to fit very well both with the ancient Lenten Mass and the devotional feast that we keep this evening of the Holy Shroud of our Lord, which in modern times has reached such beautiful prominence. So if you think of speech, well, that's the revelation of God down throughout the centuries. And then that, of course, is recorded in the infallible Word of God in sacred scripture. And we have that in the Lenten Masses in a particular way, beautiful stories that are only told just once a year at those Masses. We have the story of Joseph tonight in the Mass, the Old Testament Joseph, I mean, the son who was so beloved of his father, the patriarch Jacob. His elder brothers were jealous and envious of him, and eventually they plot that he should, they wanted to put him to death, but then finally decided to sell him for 20 pieces of silver down into Egypt. He's a figure or a type of our Lord. At some point, his father gives him, and only to him, a beautiful coat of many colors. He's very proud of it, and he wears it with delight. And his older brothers are even the more jealous because of that. After they have sold him into slavery, they dip the coat in the blood of a goat, and they send it to the father saying, "We came across this. See whether or not this is the coat of your son." A very cold way of informing their father of the supposed death of his son, Joseph. Well, that coat dipped into blood is an Old Testament type or symbol of the holy shroud of our Lord. The prophecy in the Old Testament is perfectly fulfilled in the New. And as I say, because of God's mercy in recent times, especially in the 19th century, the discovery of photography and the question of the photographic negative, why now we have renewed for us, as it were, two different times in the 19th century, the holy face of our Lord. First of all, appearing miraculously for 3 hours on the veil of Veronica, covered in a silver reliquary, which otherwise is quite faded, and you couldn't see anything on it at all anymore because of the age. And then, because of the use of photography, the negative of our Lord's face, which then prints out into the positive, and we see the features and all of the suffering down to the smallest details. It's something that we can see. It's our Lord telling us how much he loves us. Still today, you can see the Holy Shroud every now and again. It's put on exhibition at the Cathedral of Turin, where it is otherwise held with very great veneration. That's the seeing. And then the next part, of course, the seeing and the speech, the next part would be the touch. Why, that would lead us, well, if you saw the shroud, if you see something that you admire, or if you just see something new or different, what do you want to do? You want to reach out and touch it. And they say that when you're visiting art in a museum, of course, there's always some guards on duty, lest that you touch anything. But that really, that's a very good way to appreciate, to want to touch it. Our Lord allows us to touch him when the Sacred Host is laid upon our tongue in Holy Communion. There is a great intimacy there, a wonderful closeness. And all three of these ways, seeing and hearing and touching, are a wonderful proof of the Sacred Heart's immense love for us still today and in this way. I don't think that you could praise sufficiently the mercy of our Lord in saving the vision of his holy face from the shroud for us in modern times, to gaze upon the holy face of our Lord. This is a beautiful feast, because the feast of the Holy Shroud and the devotion to the Holy Shroud not only lead us again to the Holy Face, such a powerful devotion for modern times, but at the same time it forms a kind of a good analogy, a good spiritual preparation for our Holy Communion of Reparation tonight for receiving Holy Communion, really, at any time. I have a Latin book of prayers and meditations for priests, and today I read in it a prayer which I will translate. O good Jesus, who hast willed thus to be wrapped up in a clean linen shroud, purify my conscience from dead works, so that with greater purity of heart I might receive thy most precious body. St. Thomas Aquinas says our Lord was wrapped in a shroud for three reasons. The symbolism of the linen reminds us of the Passion, because our Lord, the innocent one, died for us, and linen comes out, you know, kind of a grayish or a brownish color, and it has to be purified through a number of beatings, St. Thomas says. And that makes us think of our Lord and the suffering that he underwent so that our souls might be purified, so they could be, as we read in the Apocalypse, washed white in the blood of the Lamb. And the purity of the white shining linen shroud, which was a very great price, that's a reminder to us how we must only approach Holy Communion with purity of conscience. St. Paul says, let a man prove himself, and thus let him eat of that bread and drink of that chalice. So we first of all think of the shroud of our Lord, pure white and a clean conscience. And then next of the spices. St. Joseph, but particularly the holy women, all bought sweet spices, myrrh, and perfumes with which to anoint our Lord. When we bring our virtues, they aren't much, they're very poor, they're really nothing indeed, but if only they could be rare and costly and precious and fragrant. That's what we're doing. When our Lord comes into our heart in communion, we can anoint him with the virtues that he and his mother demonstrate to us, and by means of Our Lady's prayers in particular, bestow upon us. So that the prayer says, so that I might worthily bury thee with these spices in my innermost heart, O Lord. So that's the second preparation. The first is the purchase of the shroud, clean conscience, purity of heart. Secondly, the spices, that is to say, whatever virtue, whatever penance, whatever acts of love I could offer thee. And thirdly, Joseph of Arimathea buries our Lord in this pure white linen shroud, his holy body as well as they could, because they didn't have much time, all being anointed with costly spices. He buries it in his own tomb. And it's a new tomb, the evangelist says, in which no one had ever been laid before. Of course, it must be so, because our Lord brings to us a new spirit, and he wants to create in us, at the moment of Holy Communion, a new heart. And so that by means of piety and all of our Lord's gifts, sanctifying grace, sacramental grace of the communion, we might be more closely united with our Lord. But if St. Thomas says, if there was someone else in the tomb, you wouldn't be sure who rose again on Easter Sunday. If there's someone else in the tomb of your heart, that person would either take your affection or perhaps would distract your devotion. No, your heart has to be only for our Lord, only for him. Those are three practical ways in which a devotion to the Holy Shroud, which is probably not too much practiced today, aside from the Holy Face, I mean, but the devotion to the Holy Shroud can help you to vary and really make very devout your preparation for Holy Communion. May it be a beautiful communion of reparation tonight. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, the Holy Ghost. Amen.